KJAN, Radio Atlantic.
At 8 o'clock, we have cloudy skies and 69 degrees in Atlantic. We look for skies to be mostly sunny today, a high of 92. Good morning, I'm Rick Hansen with KJAN News, brought to you by ASI Audiology and Hearing Instruments in Atlantic. The City of Atlantic's Planning and Zoning Commission will meet Tuesday evening at City Hall, and one of the topics of discussion during the meeting that begins at 5:30 p.m., under new business, is the Poet LLC Ethanol Rail Site, located north of the Rock Island Depot on North Chestnut Street. City Administrator Doug Harris told KJAN News earlier this week that City Zoning Administrator John Lund had issued a stop work order, which required Poet to cease construction of an ethanol transloading station in Atlantic because the company did so without the city's permission. An email to Atlantic Fire Chief Mark McNeese from Rail Portfolio Manager Christian McElvain said as many as 8 rail cars at any given time will be loaded at the transloading station, each of which will be equipped with a track spill pan to serve as spill containment. The company intends to transload fuel from tanker trucks coming to town from Coon Rapids into as many as 25 rail cars weekly. The physical movement of the cars will be handled by crews with Iowa Interstate Railroad. City officials and others met with representatives from Poet Thursday morning. The city attorney has acknowledged that federal law pertaining to rail operations prohibits the city from stopping the project, but the city does have a say when it comes to the project complying with electrical, plumbing, and fire codes. City officials are concerned about public safety and wear and tear on Commerce Street, the main access road to the transloading site, but officials with Poet have said they're willing to work with the city with regard to any damage and repair of the street. And Atlantic Fire Chief Mark McNeese has told KJAN News he's satisfied the company will have the proper safety precautions in place when the stations are built. News time is 8:02.
You're home most of the time just watching television, and you don't have any problems hearing the TV, so you don't need to have your hearing tested.
At family functions, everyone pretty much leaves you alone anyway, so you don't need a hearing evaluation.
At the doctor's office, your wife asks all the questions, and she'll help you get all the medications right once you get home. You don't need to hear everything the doctor says.
When everyone at coffee is laughing and having a good time telling jokes, it doesn't bother you. You just laugh along with them so they don't think you didn't get it. The fact that you missed the punchline is okay. You don't like dumb jokes anyway, and you definitely don't need to get your hearing evaluated.
During your last performance evaluation, you didn't get the raise you expected. Your boss says he's tired of repeating instructions, and if things don't improve, your job might be in jeopardy. Maybe it is time to get your hearing checked.
This is Doug Leonard, audiologist at ASI. If you're tired of missing out on quality time with your family, of missing the punchlines with your friends, and maybe even falling behind at work, there is hope. Take control of your life. Call today for a hearing evaluation. ASI, with offices in Atlantic, Ottoman, Manning, and Carroll. Hear better, live better.
Cass County Wellness Coordinator Teddy Grinberg has announced that the county has been awarded $11,554 in a USDA Rural Business Enterprise grant to assist with farmers' markets development throughout the county. The award will extend through the end of the current market season, the coming year, and the end of the next season. The focus of the grant is to help communities within Cass County create and or expand area farmers' markets. The Cass County Local Food Policy Council will work in conjunction with interested communities to identify current and potential vendors, establish community-based market committees, and to promote the purchase and consumption of the local food provided in the markets. Elsewhere in the news, last week was the hottest week in Iowa this year, and it's resulted in worsening drought conditions. The U.S. Drought Monitor's weekly report issued Thursday shows a large area of central and southern Iowa in severe drought. Iowa State University climatologist Elwin Taylor says that stage is where the lack of moisture is showing crop and environmental effects, and Taylor isn't optimistic conditions will improve anytime soon.
The biggest likelihood right now is to continue on the dry side of usual. That will bring some real concern for community water supplies, as well as concern for the crop in the next year.
The drought isn't quite as severe in northern Iowa, where persistent and heavy spring rains prevented crops from being planted. However, even northern Iowa is classified as abnormally dry. Taylor notes the U.S. Drought Monitor now lists nearly a third of Iowa in severe drought.
And it includes now almost all of the southern part of Iowa and almost all of the central.
Overall, the U.S. Drought Monitor has 32% of the state in a severe drought, up from 22.4% a week ago. And as one-third of Iowa is now in a severe drought and the increasing dry conditions raise the risk for grass fires, State Fire Marshal Ray Reynolds says rural residents who burn ditches or large piles of debris need to be especially careful.
I think people underestimate just how dry conditions are. You know, the other thing we see is as we start to get into the fields, you know, coming up in the next month or so. Equipment, machinery is another common cause of fires.
Prairie or grass fires are often also ignited by discarded cigarettes.
We see an awful lot of people that are throwing cigarettes out of their cars, and I have not seen a car yet that doesn't come with an ashtray. And we would just encourage people that are traveling through our state to put their cigarettes out in their vehicle in the ashtray.
A simple spark combined with recent low humidity and a little wind can quickly turn into a large fire. Reynolds says every year at least a few Iowans are burned or even killed in controlled burns that get out of control.
So if we could just remind Iowans that if you absolutely have to burn, make sure you have a water source close by and just be cognizant of the conditions when you burn.
Elsewhere in the news this morning, big changes are coming to health insurance starting October 1st when millions of uninsured Americans have to start buying policies under the Affordable Care Act. John Bailey of the Center for Rural Affairs said rural residents in Iowa tend not to get preventative screenings like cancer tests or mammograms.
The screenings and the tests are relatively inexpensive and do pay off. And rural people, the data show, get those in significantly fewer amounts than the non-rural people. And I think that's because of the type of insurance they have.
Compared to urban residents, Bailey says rural Americans are responsible for nearly 22% more of their total health care costs, including premiums, copays, and out-of-pocket costs. The center's research finds rural Iowans will see many pluses from the new federal health care law. Bailey says they focused on the provisions of the law, including tax credits, and whether the costs can be subsidized.
Because of the insurance market in rural areas, because lower incomes generally in rural areas, we think that a good chunk of premium tax credits will go to rural people, and a lot of rural people will benefit from them.
Bailey, the center's director of rural research and analysis, authored the report, which looks at the benefits of health insurance marketplaces, cost sharing, and other incentives for rural residents.
We hope it shows sort of the process that people will have to go through, and if they purchase insurance on the new health insurance marketplaces, what they'll potentially get in terms of premium assistance to help pay for the health insurance cost. It shows how those premium assistance provisions work, who qualifies for those.
Bailey says many provisions of the new law apply to rural residents because of demographics, unique health care challenges, and economic circumstances. The Center for Rural Affairs is based in Lyons, Nebraska. And school's back in session for Iowa kids, and a sleep expert says readjusting to the schedule can lead to problems of not enough sleep. Dr. Stephen Grant of Iowa Sleep in West Des Moines says it can be a problem for kids regardless of their age.
Basically, school-age children age 6 to 12 years, these children need on average about 9 to 12 hours a night sleep, and it's rare that I see any of these kids getting more than 8 on average. And especially in the adolescents, it's even more salient that they believe they need even less sleep when, in fact, they need at least 9 hours themselves. But on average, the average teenager that I see gets about 7 hours a night.
Grant says the kids may also think they can catch up by sleeping in on the weekends, but that's not the case.
It actually takes you about 3 days to catch up on your sleep. It's nothing that you could do at one fell swoop.
It's a matter of adjusting the schedule so the kids have the time they need. Dr. Grant says the method varies based on the age of the children.
In the school-age children, it's kind of just getting more of a ceremony or the kind of expectation that sleep will happen sooner. But in the adolescents, it's really kind of reining in some screen time or some smartphone time, or just allowing the teenager to window in on the potential of what life could be like with 8 or 9 hours of sleep under their belt instead of 7.
Making sure the kids sleep at the proper time, he says, is a key, or they could suffer from what's called delayed sleep phase. The doctor says he gets a lot of questions from parents about kids talking or walking in their sleep and snoring, but for the most part, he says it's not a major concern. Grant says if adjusting your child's schedule does not do the trick and allow them to get enough sleep, then you can see someone like him who is a sleep specialist. Taking a look at world headlines at this hour, the Federal Reserve might not have such an easy decision later this month on whether to slow its stimulus program of bond purchases. The government reports today that employers added 169,000 jobs in August, and a much smaller number in July than had been thought. A slowdown in hiring could tempt the Fed to delay pulling back on the stimulus effort. The unemployment rate is down to 7.3%, the lowest in nearly 5 years, but it's because more Americans stopped looking for work. U.S. diplomats have been told to leave Lebanon as Congress debates military strikes in nearby Syria. Meanwhile, President Obama is using the last day of the G20 economic summit in Russia to try and scrounge up foreign support for armed action. He's had little public success so far. And in Syria, state TV is reporting the Syrian government is offering the equivalent of $2,800 to anyone who turns in a foreign fighter. A teenager already facing terrorism charges is scheduled to appear in federal court in Chicago today to face new charges. Investigators say that while behind bars, Adele Daoud tried to arrange to kill an agent who prosecutors say played a role in the sting that led to Daoud's 2012 arrest. He's also accused of trying to set off a car bomb outside of a downtown Chicago bar. News time is 8:10.
Listen carefully and think what your life would be like if you were constantly faced with
embarrassment, fatigue, irritability, tension and stress, anger, avoidance of social activities, depression,
negativism, danger to personal safety, reduced general health, loneliness,
social isolation, impaired memory, less adaptability to learning new tasks, paranoia, reduced coping skills, and reduced overall psychological health.
So what is it? Heart disease, cancer, or some other serious illness? For many of these diseases, the prognosis may be terminal, but the symptoms you just heard are actually linked to hearing loss. And for that, there is hope, whether the loss is mild or profound. This is Doug Leonard, audiologist with ASI. Hearing loss doesn't have to be a source of embarrassment or depression or any of the other symptoms you just heard. You can avoid many, if not all of them, by treating your hearing loss with hearing aids. Today's hearing aids offer technology that has given back what so many patients thought they'd lost for good. And it starts with an evaluation. Call today, ASI, with offices in Atlantic, Audubon, Manning, and Carroll. Hear better, live better.
In the funeral announcements, Valera Mayberry, age 100, formerly of Atlantic, died Monday in West Des Moines. Funeral services for Valera Mayberry will be this morning at 10:30 at Hockenberry Family Care Funeral Home in Atlantic. Velma Smith, age 101, of Lewis, died Saturday. Funeral services for Velma Smith will be tomorrow at 10 o'clock at the Roland Funeral Home in Atlantic. Verna Christensen, age 95, of Exira, died Sunday. Funeral services for Verna Christensen will be tomorrow at 10:30 at the Brayton Lutheran Church. Kessler Funeral Home in Exira has arrangements. Esther Harder, age 89, of Elkhorn, Nebraska, died August 14th. Graveside services for Esther Harder will be tomorrow at 10:30 at the Graceland Cemetery at Avoca. Pauly Jones Funeral Home in Harlan has arrangements. Lynn Christensen, age 75, formerly of Bridgewater, died Tuesday in Des Moines. Memorial services for Lynn Christensen will be held Saturday at 11 o'clock at the Fontenelle United Methodist Church. Steen Funeral Home in Greenfield has arrangements. Dorothy Weiss, age 88, of Manning, died August 30th. Funeral services for Dorothy Weiss will be on Saturday at 11 o'clock at the First Presbyterian Church in Manning. Odie Funeral Home in Manning has arrangements. Dominic Lloyd Elkins, age 5, of Atlantic, died August 31st. Funeral services for Dominic Elkins will be Saturday at 1 o'clock at the Pauly Jones Funeral Home in Harlan. Glenn Bruin, age 76, of Audubon, died Thursday at the Audubon County Hospital. Funeral services for Glenn Bruin will be Monday at 10:30 at Our Savior's Lutheran Church in Audubon. Kessler Funeral Home in Audubon has arrangements. Marion Beeman, age 83, of Dexter, died Thursday. Funeral services for Marion Beeman will be on Tuesday at 10:30 at the First Presbyterian Church in Dexter. Johnson Family Funeral Home in Stewart has arrangements. Gary Lincoln, age 74, of Stewart, died Sunday. A visitation for Gary Lincoln will be held September 12th at 6 p.m. at the Stewart Legion Hall. Johnson Family Funeral Home in Stewart has arrangements. And Donald Beatty, age 93, of Hancock, died Wednesday at Avoca Nursing and Rehab. Services for Donald Beatty are pending at the Pauly Jones Funeral Home in Avoca. The news was brought to you by ASI, Audiology and Hearing Instruments, at 601 Poplar in Atlantic. Call 243-5796. I'm Rick Hansen reporting.